Grace and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Where we'd like to focus a little bit closer tonight is taken from John chapter 18, verses 33 through 37. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews? Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews, but now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this very reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." This is the word of the Lord. There are some things in life you can count on, you can expect. Right? We generally know when it's going to get light out and when it's going to get dark out. We know what type of weather to expect in the different seasons, maybe except for this winter season. We generally know certain baseball teams will continue their losing ways in the springtime, right? There are some things we know, there's some things we can expect. Another guarantee, another reality of life, something that's not so pleasant to discuss. And that's the reality we've all inherited a terrible disease from our parents. That disease of sin, which in turn makes us enemies with God. It's not a pleasant topic to discuss, but it's one that we need to reflect and to focus more on. You know, it's reality of life, but Christians are not without hope because of another fact and reality of this life. Christ is our King. And Christ is not some typical king we read in the history books where authority or rulers make mistakes. The Apostle Paul says Christ is the King of kings. Our King rules over other royalty and other kings. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't lose power with old age. Our King conquered death itself. And now his kingdom will have no end. Remember, almost from the start of Jesus' life here on earth, he was called a king. A couple months ago when we looked at the Magi, the wise men, and they wanted to worship Jesus, and they asked the question, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" Later on in Jesus' life, one of his disciples directly told him, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And then even in the Old Testament, Jesus was foretold or prophesied as a king. Maybe remember these words from Zechariah, how he foretold the Palm Sunday account coming up. In Zechariah 9:9, he says, "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And in our text for tonight, we heard that term again. The term king was used again. First, the Jews accused Jesus of being a king, and then Pilate asked that simple question, whether or not Jesus was a king. And we heard Jesus answer. There's no sidestepping the question like a politician. Jesus was clear and straightforward. And in his answer, we find our King's wondrous love for sinners. The Jews, however, were not ready to accept Jesus as king. Those words we heard in our Passion reading, when Jesus' body was on the cross, that sign was being ready to post above his head, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Jewish leaders were not happy with that sign. So don't write King of the Jews, but this man claimed to be the King of the Jews. They were not ready to accept Jesus as king because he had not lived up to their requirements, their expectations. See, before Jesus even came to this world through the Virgin Mary, Jewish leaders were coming up with their own ideas of how this king from the line of David should act. See, they wanted a king who would compliment them on their self-righteous works. They wanted a king who would denounce and judge anybody who did not live the same. See, they wanted a king, all right, but they wanted a king who followed and carried out their expectations, their requirements. The common people also had their idea of what type of king Jesus should be. Everyone remembers the scene when Jesus miraculously filled their bellies with fish and bread. Their eyes opened up, and they saw exactly the type of king they wanted. Saw Jesus could be their permanent security blanket. Someone who could take care of all of their needs and satisfy all of their desires. Really, they wanted a king like David or Solomon, where the people enjoyed great wealth and riches. And sadly, this was the downfall of the Jewish people. They got caught up in Jesus' miracles, and they fantasized how Jesus could take care of them. Really, we could say they got caught up in the worldly and missed out on the heavenly, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What type of king do you want Jesus to be? We know what we expect, what we want out of our governments. We know what we expect and out of our parents or our children, our spouses. We know how we want our friends to act, our employees, our fellow employees. What about our King Jesus? How do we want Christ to act? What do we expect out of our King? Now, maybe we don't know how to answer this question because we generally expect the same type of things from our King. We expect him to continue to provide for our daily bread as we pray in the fifth petition. We want to be able to turn to our King for the protection and guidance we need in this oppressive world. We expect these things from our King, and he delivers. And yet, admittedly, we expect even more. We selfishly want it all. It's not good enough that our King takes care of us better than all kings in history combined. We want even more. We want our King to solve all of our problems, take care of all of our needs right here, right now. We want blue skies and smooth paths all the time. And when this is not the reality of life, what's our reaction? And when cancer strikes, or when families fight and disappoint, earthly goods may evaporate, job pay decreases, plans fail, dreams vanish, what then? Is this the type of king we expect? Is this the type of king we want? Even worse, do we begin to question our King's wondrous love for us? Or do we begin to resent our King for how he decides to rule our lives, his people's lives? May Jesus graciously forgive us for the times we question his kingship, his reign. How fast we forget that our King is also our God. And how fast we forget that our King now truly knows what is best for us. The troubles and hardships in life is not a question of whether our King loves us, but what is he trying to show us? What is he trying to teach us? See, we need a King who can do it all. We need someone who looks to build us up and make us stronger, even if that means enduring troubles and hardships. We need a King who can do it all, and therefore we need a King who is not a mere mortal. We need a King and kingdom that is not of this world. That's exactly what Jesus told Pilate when he said this: "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." See, Pilate knew what kingdoms, what rulers were like. He was a representative of the world power at that time. He knew that rulers could map out exact dimensions of their kingdom, that rulers have vast armies at their disposal to will against their subjects, to defend against opposition. But Jesus was telling this earthly ruler about a different kingdom, a kingdom that doesn't have exact dimensions, a kingdom that has a vast army, but in the form of angels. See, Jesus was telling this earthly ruler, Pilate, there's a far better kingdom from a far better place. Jesus goes on to say this: "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this very reason I was born. And for this I came into the world to testify to the truth." We know Jesus was speaking to Pilate with these words, but he's also speaking to you and me. See, in wondrous love, our King desperately reaches out for us, wanting more than anything for us to be part of his kingdom. Jesus says directly, I am your king, but I don't want your land and possessions. I don't want your labor and taxes. I want your hearts. I want to rule your heart with my wondrous love. That's exactly what our King of Kings did when he came to this world, when he died on a tree. He cured us from that infection we have from our parents, that infection of sins. And he made us his own. Not with power and pomp like typical authority, but with the simple words of the gospel. And in that gospel, we see that our King gives us his everything, his heart, his sweat, his blood, so that we as people can enjoy his unlimited riches. We heard Pilate's question to Jesus, are you a king? And Pilate heard Jesus reply. But apparently he wasn't paying close enough attention. Because instead of bowing down to this King of Kings, Pilate hands him over to the cross. Thanks be to God, you and I know better. Thanks be to God, in his abundant grace, we have faith and we can sing this Lenten season, crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. Thanks be to God, we can confess that Christ is the King of Kings. And this King gave up his all so that we can enjoy it all. Again, there are some things in life we can expect, we can count on. One of those things is that Christ is our King. His reign will have no end, and he desires each of us to be with him there someday. A perfect place where there is no stress or dissension or pain. A place where our King looks to take perfect care of us, to give us that perfect peace and rest for our souls. In that heavenly kingdom, we and all the saints who have gone before us, friends and family, will join together in praising and honoring this King of Kings. Our prayer is that God keep our eyes fixed on this King and his wondrous love until we together join and praise him above. Amen.